Well, good evening, everybody, and it's lovely to be with you for this service. Barbara, can we just go one slide further on, please? We're thinking about God the gardener. That's Fred the gardener. In fact, his name was Fred Gardner. And Fred lived in the country, and for 49 years he was a Methodist local preacher, and he used to go around giving services in all the little villages in Essex where he lived. And in Fred's time, he's been dead a good few years now, in Fred's time and in the place where he was, there were so many more people who would really get all this stuff about vines and gardening. Because Fred Gardner, was somebody for whom this was an everyday reality. And for us who are townies, it's maybe not quite so immediate. But when we read in the Bible about God being a gardener, and those images of the vine and of things growing, of course, that really would have been everybody's daily reality then. And as our society has moved really from the country into the town, that's been happening over hundreds of years, we really do need to keep hold of the vividness of those images about growing. How do I know about Fred Gardner, Fred the gardener? That's my mum's father. He really was called Fred Gardner. Okay, next picture please, Barbara. 3 years ago, somebody else came to our house and just put in the ground for us some canes, some fruit canes, and it's a fruit called a Loganberry. If you know Loganberries, they're really very tasty. It's a kind of hybrid raspberry thing. So it went in 3 years ago. And last year, it looked like that. And it's a bit difficult to see on the slide, but actually there are dozens and dozens and dozens of fruit buds on that. And last year, we got so much fruit from the Loganberry that completely filled every corner in the freezer. We were having stewed Loganberries, Loganberry on porridge, Loganberry with fruit. It was fantastic. It really was. This year, hardly anything. Why? Because I didn't prune it. I didn't do what you have to do to look after a fruiting bush, because you can't just leave it alone. You need to tend it, and you need to make sure that what's there, what you've left, is actually the fruiting growth, the new fruiting growth, which will fruit 1 year on. I had to learn that the hard way, because the freezer was empty this year. But of course, that kind of imagery will have been very familiar to the people of Jesus' time and place. Not with Loganberries, but certainly with vines. It's the same kind of principle, really. But vines don't just grow straight from the ground. Very often, the vine has to be grafted. So the fruiting branches come from a different variety from the stock, and you graft one on the other. And one of the things that people learn to do with things like vines, also things like apples as well, is to get the best combination of a root stock and the fruiting branches. Well, it's a brilliant image, isn't it? And all of these images that the Bible uses, that Jesus used, you can take them so far, of course. They're not exact analogies, but it does help us understand something. And so in the reading we've just heard, Jesus is, in John's Gospel, speaking to his disciples just before he's going to be arrested and put to death. Now, this part of John's Gospel is one that is very special to me. And I'm just going to let a little hobby horse run around for a moment. Is that okay? Because this part of John's Gospel is often called the farewell discourse. Fancy words, isn't it? By calling it the farewell discourse, it's like, oh, Jesus is going and it's terrible. Well, for the disciples, yes, it was distressing. But if you read those chapters of John's Gospel, don't think of them as being about a sad goodbye, even if that's what maybe the disciples were thinking. Instead of that, think of Jesus inspiring and equipping his disciples for their mission. So you've got that slight sort of difference of mood. They are anxious and sorrowful. He is saying, now boys, this is what you've got to do. And this is how you're going to have the power to do it, because he promises that the Holy Spirit will be with them. But in the reading that we've had, there's something of a combination of an encouragement and warning, isn't there? Because, yes, they are close to Jesus. They get their life from him. But there is that touch of a harder edge in what Jesus is saying, that it is possible to be unproductive and it is possible to be useless. And that might sting a bit, because we don't always like that harder edge, do we, in the stuff that we read in the Bible? We want it all to be easy, we want it all to be affirming. But actually, the Bible gives us that fantastic promise and inspiration and empowering. At the same time, it lays on us that sense of responsibility, which we can't ignore. It goes back a long way. If you're within sight of one of the Bibles, then you might like to look, please, back at page 654. Page 654. Here is a poem from Isaiah, where the vineyard, the place where the grapes are growing, is used as an image. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. It's a warning against the nation. It's a warning against the nation turning apart from God. And all the more distressing because, of course, what could have been so fruitful was in danger of going wrong. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. That last verse has got a sort of play on words in it, because he looked for justice, for mishpat in Hebrew, and instead he found bloodshed, mispach, very similar but meaning something very different. And he looked for justice, tzedakah, but instead found distress, tzaakah. And Jesus took up this image of the vine as well. So, if we look, it's in all of the three other Gospels, but let's use Matthew's version. So, if you please turn in the Bible to page 936. And it's the bottom half of the first column on 936. And you see how there's echoes of that Isaiah poem in this. Jesus says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall round it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. So, in Isaiah, it's the nation that is not going well. In Jesus' gospel parable, it's the leaders who are getting things wrong. Tenants who are bad tenants. And we sometimes think that this parable here points to the way in which faith in Jesus is becoming a global faith by the time that the Gospels are written. And so it's a faith for all. So, what all of this, I think, is telling us is that God gives to humanity, gives to us, the things that grow, spiritually grow, spiritually have potential. But also, this is grapes. It's not Brussels sprouts. It's something that's got celebration about it. Something that's wonderful, has got the joy of the celebration of wine as the fruit, as the potential. But in order for that to happen, if you go to the next slide, please, there has to be that discipline, that sense of purpose, and not just letting things run the way that they might do unchecked. This is one of my holiday photos. This is a window from Chartres Cathedral in France, where they have a window with the work that people do in every single month of the year. And this is March, and it's pruning. You see? So let's ask what this might mean really for us. So Barbara, if we just go to the next slide, thank you. Where are you really rooted and grafted? Do you feel that it's that rootedness in Jesus Christ that actually makes sense of your life and that you see as the source of your life? Think of those disciples, how it was that they had been with Jesus for, we think, 3 years. They'd been listening to him, watching, learning. And Jesus had revealed to them truths about God that otherwise they wouldn't have had. And so it was going to be only a short time from the time of our gospel reading that they would be sent out to take this message and to say to people of all nations to which they came, amid all the difficulty and opposition they would face, that to be fully human is to be someone who has glimpsed the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Somebody who has caught that teaching, and as the gospel story unfolds, somebody who knows that our hope is in the resurrected Jesus. Secondly, you're not alone. Sometimes as Christians we can feel isolated, and sometimes we actually think just of that relationship between ourselves and God. But as Christians we belong to this most incredible, wonderful company of others who are grafted with us into the vine. No Christian is competent in everything. Every Christian, like every vine, has got bugs. And so, under God, we rely on belonging to this company to strengthen us, to share gifts and opportunities, to build up and appreciate the things that we see in other people, God's gifts in other people, that we ourselves might not have. There is no room for jealousy when we think of the gifts of God. Instead, celebrate what we see in other people. Think of those chapters, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, that talk about the way in which in the body of Christ we complement each other. This marvelous riches of God's gifts. None of us has them all. We all have our blank spots. Together, as the church of God, we are immensely powerful. Never forget that. And thirdly, what needs pruning? What is there in us, each of us, that's actually stopping the growth? Sometimes you need to say goodbye even to quite a big, solid, woody branch if you're going to get fruit next year on another part of the plant. And actually, for each of us, There might be something like that. There might be something in our life, something in us, something that we're very maybe privately aware of, that is stopping our spiritual growth. And that's something that in prayer and in Bible reading you may discover by God's grace yourself, or it may mean that you have to talk that through with a trusted Christian friend or minister to discover. But all of this is part of God's love for us. God the gardener loves us and wants to see us grow and wants to see us bear that fruit.